Hey, y'all. We are Back to the Basket, a weekly NBA podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the world. It's your host, Wahaj, and with me today, like every week, it's Kevin, a.k.a. Kevon.
Hello, world.
And it's Richard, a.k.a. Richie Rich.
Universe!
So we're still loving basketball, even though it's off-season, which is technically the regular season, apparently.
24-7.
Yes. Much better, more drama, more parody. So?
I mean... yeah, we're just going to laugh at parody for a second here.
Speaking of parody, we're going to start off with the melodrama.
Okay,
wow. But guys, remember, stay mellow. Just do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So what's happening with the Melo situation, really?
I hear he's going to be stretched. I mean, OKC is going to be in the, owing $100 million if they keep him. So
the only stretching he's going to be doing this offseason is contract,
yep.
Right?
Yep. How much did they save? How much did they save by stretching him?
$100 million.
$100 billion.
Yeah, you don't turn that down.
That tax bill is $311.
Yep, he's
that's
100 million of that.
Texas T.
I don't know if I'm wrong.
Is that
maybe
more than the GDP of Oklahoma?
That's more than Real Madrid.
Really?
I think so.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, so first off, you know you're in a bad place when you're spending more than a team in a league without a salary cap.
Whose owner is Qatari.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so from what I heard, there are three possible destinations for Melo. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, they all happen to have members of, you guessed it, the Banana Boat.
Banana Boat.
So
what is the most out there destination that he might not go to, but you're hearing some chatter about it?
The one that seems most unlikely is Miami, but it also seems like that might be the best place for him, at least for me.
I mean, does he want to party?
We're talking about Melo here. And I'm sure Lala wants to be somewhere nice.
I'm pretty sure Lala wants to go to the Lakers the most, but like, for the reason I'm saying Miami would be the most interesting is because, you know, we've seen them take, you know, players with reputations for, you know, like lacking work ethic or not really fitting in with a team and just like making players out of them, like Hassan Whiteside and James Johnson. So.
Hey, Lala and Savannah are a better duo than Melo and LeBron at this point. Like, I'm not too high on Melo playing with LeBron. I just don't see the fit there. I mean, but Lakers are making questionable moves and I don't think they're stopping anytime soon. So why not bring him on, right?
What about Houston?
I mean, CP3 is making a good case for his buddy. But then again, you have higher priorities here, Houston. You got Capella, you got Luke Mbamute. I heard that they're not too high on him right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And
priorities for me.
For me, if I was Houston, I would say their foundational principle is like, if you can't take a three, you're going to take a layup. And we already know, like, for Melo, if he can't take a three, he'll pump fake and, like, try to get something in the mid-range. So it's like, it's not going to work out, at least.
Can Melo be hidden in that system of Houston where, you know, they can have a better defender on the floor with him, as in P.J. Tucker, maybe? To hide him on that end, so, you know,
they also need a guy like,
he could be a good spot up 3-point shooter.
Yeah, that's what but that's also what people were saying in Oklahoma, right?
You need a wing like Ariza or Luke Richard to kind of hide him on defense. So I'm not really sure. They got to make one of those signings first, and Ariza's off the table.
The ball movement might be better in Houston if they want to play that way. Oklahoma, there's a lot of like, you know, Westbrook just kind of runs the show.
Yeah.
With Chris Paul and Harden, they might be like more swinging of the ball, might be more kickouts. I know it's an ISO team, just like Oklahoma in a way. But at the same time, Melo's just going to be posted in the corner just waiting for shots. But he has to take that role seriously. Like, he has to accept that role in this late in his career.
Unlike OKC, though, Houston can make shots.
I think it's... Are you really?
Except in games.
Yeah, I was gonna say. No, but I think it'll be interesting if we're talking about ISO. Melo might be motivated to actually make those shots if he is in a scenario where it's not him who's controlling the ISO, right? Where it is Chris Paul and James Harden, and they're like they're being very judicious about where they're passing.
They
it,
do
right?
take a like, lot of pressure off as well. Harden and CP3 are both the lead shooters.
It all depends on Melo. If he wants to agree with a system that he can fit in, like, you know, I don't want it to be another Iverson situation where he just goes out, fizzles out, playing the same way he has for 15 yeah. years. I don't think that's working anymore. He needs to see that.
I think from what, you know, people, not, you know, not informed people, just people who have also heard the same rumors as me, are thinking is that the sort of hesitation from Houston is that they spoke to his representation and he's like still unwilling to accept that bench role. So that might just slow it down.
It's going to be a long road, Melo.
Yeah.
Speaking of long roads, Lonzo's taking a long road to get along with LeBron here. Like, why is he not? Why is his camp leaking these weird injury reports?
They didn't want him to get traded.
And why not?
Because LeVar,
he was born to be a Laker.
Yeah, LeVar wants his boys on the Lakers.
If LeBron don't want you, if you're not in his plans, then you're not going to be around.
I don't think it was a preventative measure from LeBron. I think it was to keep Magic from trading them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think.
Well, it did, you know, hold up a lot of those trade talks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if LeBron really is playing any front office role here.
I don't think he is.
But he is
being
considered for all these signings. Like, Magic went over to his house and apparently laid down the whole plan, and LeBron has a say in everything. I mean, LeBron wanted Lance on his team. LeBron wanted Rondo. LeBron said, go out and get these guys that are smart basketball players. Apparently, Lance is one of them.
What about JaVale?
Well, JaVale...
might be a money signing. I mean, he's still a cheap contract, and he can still produce.
He's very athletic.
Yeah. But going back to the Lonzo thing, I actually think that leaking, and Woj was quoted saying this as well, is that sort of leaking motivated Magic to sign Rondo to sort of create some internal competition.
Right, right. I mean, if you're going to go out and leak these things from... The Lakers have been very tight-lipped about a lot of their moves lately, especially the LeBron situation. Nobody knew it. I mean, other than the guys following his plane, you know, what really was going to go on. And they've been very tight-lipped about it after all the tampering fines they've received.
Yeah.
So I don't think Magic's playing around this year.
LeBron isn't playing around. I think Magic is still, in my eyes, not as tight-lipped. He's now known for that guy.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what matters is, like, does LeBron approve of the roster choices? Because I think he's going to have a bigger say than maybe even Cleveland at the end. Because Kobe Altman was making his own moves.
Yeah, well, they weren't talking.
No, they weren't. But this is a LeBron project here. LeBron came to L.A. with other ventures in mind as well. Like, it's not just a basketball decision.
Yeah, this is a life. It's a life
choice. Yeah, it's a lifestyle choice. But ultimately, what I'm trying to say that Lakers need to do is retain Lonzo, because I think there's a lot of potential, right?
Them playing together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah.
Lonzo's he's a heads-up player, got high ball IQ. He's...
And a very good rebounding guard.
Yeah.
Very good rebounding guard.
Great assist, too.
Yeah. Sees the floor just like, not just like LeBron, but maybe close to it.
Yeah. Right. And he doesn't need to see it in the same way. It just needs to be in a way... And like we all saw, like, it needs to be a way that takes effort off of LeBron's back. Do you know what I mean? Like, so that he's not like willing a team of, you know, professional scrubs. Players, but also yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hate saying that word, but yeah. That's what the Cavs were. And at the same time, if the Kawhi situation presents itself again, you trade Lonzo in a heartbeat, right? You don't think about it twice.
No, I would.
If they want him, you trade.
No, the Lakers. If I'm the Lakers,
I get him for free next year.
Yeah, if I'm the Lakers, I think
I will not trade a number two overall draft pick. Not Ingram, not Ball. Wow. Just get him next year.
I think they gave away one of those guys. If push comes to shove, and You know, the San Antonio's not backing down. Because let's face it, San Antonio is really holding out here. Like, it's been a long time. And I think they're in no hurry from every report that I've read.
Yeah, I also think it's... We discussed this fairly briefly in private, but I was saying that I think the situation... No, we discussed it on the pod as well, that the situation was going to get ugly publicly as yes. well. And a report recently came
it's
out...
It's been ugly.
...that... You heard the one after this, but that they gave Kawhi's camp like responsibility for his rehab August 8th of last year.
They haven't seen him since.
Yeah, or something. Well, not that they haven't seen him, is like they haven't. So basically, all that stuff of them like misdiagnosing and stuff like that is all bullshit because Kawhi was the one who was seeing doctors, right?
Yeah, I did also hear that he went to 7 or 8 doctors just to hear the diagnosis that he wanted to hear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if somebody wants out of a certain place, they'll go to great lengths to prove their point.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to prove a point here. And you know what? If Kawhi was more upfront about it, we would understand what is going on. But I think this whole, I'm not going to talk to the media, I'm not really going to come out and say what exactly is going on with me, has carried on too long.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that even though that trade ended up looking really bad for the Cavs, that they handled that like Kyrie wanting out situation better than San Antonio.
They made a bad trade.
Yeah, they made a bad trade, but like they got it done quickly. And
essentially, they traded Isaiah Thomas and for.
Well, there's also Jay Crowder.
Okay, there's Isaiah Thomas, Crowder, and Colin Sexton for Kyrie Irving,
which is very very cheap. Considering one of those players, which we will talk about, is not signed to a team right now.
Look, maybe the Spurs don't want to make a bad deal. Because right now, every deal in front of them is not what they want from a guy who's a bona fide superstar.
Yep.
I'm just wondering how long they can wait it out before this gets uglier than it already is. I feel like this is ugly.
Yeah, you said, Kevin, you said trade deadline, right? They hold out the whole time?
No. I don't think he plays a game as a Spur. So I think it's going to happen before the season.
I think this might go to trade deadline. Unfortunately, it might.
But you think Kawhi's going to be playing as a Spur?
I don't know. I don't know what Kawhi will do, but I know what the Spurs might do.
Maybe he'll...
So he's going to sit until he gets traded?
Maybe. See, Kawhi's very unpredictable right now, so I don't really know which direction his camp is going to go in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Air quotations the camp thing.
Maybe he'll
Can we stop talking about his camp?
Yes.
the Luol Deng move. Okay. Free agency part 2 or part 3. Part 4. It's endless. So, interesting signings from the past week that you thought?
I know your take on this one, Wahaj, but Zach LaVine.
Kings
made that poison pill, right?
I mean, I don't mind him as a player. I just think the money's too much. The Bulls, understandably, matching doesn't really bother me again.
Well, they have space and they kind of
like 480, right?
Yeah, and they
have to use their cap space, right?
Yeah, but they're not. They were intending to use it to absorb bad contracts to acquire assets, but they're fine with just using it to retain players as well.
Like, I mean, the way I look at it, you don't have a chance in free agency. If you're Chicago at this point, there doesn't seem like anyone's coming. No one's knocking on the door. So I understand why they matched. I just don't understand what the Kings keep doing here. It's mind-boggling. Like, I'm kind of pissed off.
Well, it makes sense. It doesn't make sense if you look fiscally at the Kings, because they are one of those teams that is, I believe, they are taking advantage of the profit sharing.
They don't have a pick next year.
Yeah.
Sacramento's pick is going to Boston unless it's a top one protected.
Is this a very weird protection.
Is this a swap one or is this
a swap best or swap worst or is it?
No, it's just top one protected draft.
Oh yeah, this was like one of those
top one protected. You don't hear that a lot.
This is part of the Hinkie.
Yeah, yeah.
Hinkie
still making moves.
What's it called? But if you look at the moves, I think. I heard that Vivek was spearheading the LaVine like proposal, So if you look at the moves Vivek has, like, kind of wanted for the Kings, you kind of see, like, he wants flashy players to play.
Yeah, showy guys, right?
Yeah, so if you look at it, like, from a showman's perspective rather than a basketball perspective, it makes a little
Zach
more sense.
Zach is very flashy. He could be a 20-point-per-game scorer. He's got a good stroke from three. His defense is kind of questionable, but he's 23 years old, and they signed him on a $20 million deal until he turns 27 in his prime.
So. And he's pretty marketable, so.
He is.
Yeah, his ceiling, I don't know how high it really is. I think he is exactly who you think he is, and he's not going to improve that much. That's my opinion. That's my personal opinion. But at the same time, guys coming back from an ACL, you know, I'm not putting my stock in him, let's put it that way. But more importantly, the Bulls, I'm not mad at it. The move to retain him.
No, just they made a smart move.
Because
the only move, really.
I mean, you have a good core going forward. With Lowry, Chris Dunn, you drafted Wendell Carter, who seems like a promising pick. And then you have a guard in Zach LaVine, who can give you scoring, who can put up 20 points a game. And I think that might be helpful because where else is the offense really coming from apart from Markkanen? Like, Chris Dunn is not a bona fide scorer.
No, he's not.
He's going to be their go-to guy.
And Wendell Carter, I think, is a more defensive-minded, you know, forward. I think he's a forward. He's a 4-5. So, and I see why the move is made. I don't know what role you play on the Kings if you're Zach LaVine. Like, where do you fit
in? He doesn't really.
No, he'd be their starting two, and they'd have Hield coming off the bench. Bogdan coming. He's gonna be their three.
Really, you think?
That's what I was reading.
Hield is also one of their showpieces. Like, right.
They believe that he could be. Like, he's played bench minutes last year, and he apparently thrived coming off the bench. So they view him as a sixth man.
So the marquee guy you got in the Boogie trade is coming off the bench now.
Sixth man of the year guy.
I don't know. Look, again, the Kings clearly don't care about the fit. They just want to get the flashiest guy, apparently. So that's what's going on.
Talking about guys coming off ACL. I mean, Westbrook also came off ACL.
That's very true. But Westbrook is Westbrook.
And Zach LaVine is very athletic.
Yeah. All right. So, but you know what? I just want to put my take is that I'm not mad at this. He's trying to get his money. Totally for it.
Right.
But he laughed. Nick Friedell, who's the ESPN Chicago guy, tweeted that Bulls are in no position to pay him anything more than $60 million. And he retweeted that laughing emoji. Like, he can't believe $60 million before. So he thought he was worth more than that. Oh, yeah. Somebody else thought he was worth more than that. And apparently he's mad at Chicago now because they didn't offer him more.
Yeah, I think he said the Kings wanted him more.
Yeah, he was disappointed that it took until an offer
sheet. Why would you openly say that when you signed with the team? Just shut up now and play. Like, you don't need to say anything anymore. Now it creates a sort of weird, like, tension between the team and you. Like, hey, I remember what you did, but as soon as I get the option, I'm going to leave to the Kings because they wanted me more. Like, is that what you're trying to do now? There's just no point anymore.
This is another sign of Chicago front office not being the best.
Garpax.
Yeah.
What about Memphis for giving Kyle Anderson that contract?
I like Kyle Anderson.
Was it 4-37?
4-37, yep. That's close, about 9 mil.
The Spurs didn't think he was worth that much.
They didn't match. They declined.
I think they're working through a lot of shit right now, and they.
If you look at it, they drafted Lonnie Walker, and they have DeJounte Murray.
Yeah,
the similar players. I feel like
Kyle's a three.
Kyle's a very slow.
Well, the thing, the thing is, like, the Spurs elected to retain Bertans over Anderson, and if you look at it, I was saying before that, like, Kyle Anderson was like their Diaw replacement when they got rid of Diaw. Like, he was doing that sort of, like, mid post ups passing, like,
slow,
controlling the pace of the second unit when they were still trying to keep that, like, 2014 style of play, but they're not playing really like that anymore.
Yeah, the 2014 small ball, which cost them a championship because Tim Duncan wasn't on the floor and Chris Bosh got that rebound.
Yeah.
The famous rebound. Yeah. So Popovich ran the small ball. People forget that. Diaw at the five was the real small ball.
Yeah,
because Miami was running small ball with Bosh at the five, right?
Yeah.
And yes. And that was the counter.
Yeah, the counter was Diaw. And so they had this, like in the same way, Bertans is basically just the Red Mamba, just you know, without
the Red Rocket
2.0.
Yeah, missing a finger. Yeah, they're basically just they're moving away from that system because they're making room for LaMarcus. So
Spurs are, I think they might come out as a winner at the end of all of it with the Kawhi thing. I think they might get something in return. Like, okay. I'm still kind of on their side when it comes to all this. Like, they're making smart moves. They're not overreacting and being like, oh, Kawhi is going to leave, so we're going to sign Kyle Anderson, we're going to keep all these players. No, they're just like, relax, just let it unfold, see the numbers and see where we are in like 6 months.
Yeah,
like, they're not in any rush to do anything, which is a good sign, because you know, people panic and just be like, oh, okay, like Chicago panic was like, let's pay the guy $80 million, fine, whatever. We need to be in any sort of relevant here. Yeah.
Well, and also, again, the Spurs did a similar thing, I think, last year with Jonathan Simmons. Like, he was a fan favorite there. He brought energy off the bench. And then when the opportunity came for him to get more money, they were like, yeah, fine, go to Orlando. Like, it's better for
you. They do the same thing with all their assistant coaches, too.
Yeah, like, if you want to leave, like, and make money.
I mean, they have a system, right? You can't, I mean, it's always a system over the player or the personnel.
Yeah.
Right?
But they were still a top defensive team without Kawhi.
Do you guys like him in Memphis, though, like, as a fit?
Grit and grind, run it again, sure. Like, they're not a pace and space team by any means, still with this roster.
I have no idea how that's going to pan out, but we'll see, I guess.
They, okay. They lost Tyree Evans.
He went to the
Indiana Pacers, $12 million a year. Okay. Just a year contract.
To team up with Kyle O'Quinn, who also went there?
Yeah. Kyle Quinn, and I think he's a Lance replacement now.
Kyle
Quinn? Tyree Evans.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Is that better?
I think Indiana might be good. Like, they proved that they were okay last year. They held their own in the playoffs, too.
Who's to say the most improved player of the year won't improve again?
Sure.
There you go.
He becomes more efficient.
I listen to that album.
His album?
Yeah, I listened to it for a
while. Is it like R&B?
R&B, baby.
Yeah, I listened to like 2 minutes of it.
Did you see him singing that song to at the award show?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that was awkward, right?
That's very cringy because he put his arm on his shoulder.
He serenaded whatever Anderson guy or whatever the host. What's his name?
I forget his name.
Yeah, no, he just like put his arm around.
But yeah, the signings for Indiana are like pretty interesting because they... I don't know. They're sound signings that a team that wants to compete again makes. Like,
yeah, the East is wide open, really. Like, apart from the top three, maybe anyone can be four downwards.
Really, Kevin was saying with the signing of
Brolo.
Yeah, Brook Lopez. Bucks.
That's a good move. They have a five. They could space out the floor now.
So they let go of Jabari, right? Like, that's the move?
We don't know yet, but he did unfollow them on Instagram.
Yeah, like, aggressively unfollowed and blocked.
What is aggressively unblocked?
I don't know, like, about blocked.
Like, Facebook. Like,
oh, like, all social media separation?
Yeah, like, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm sorry that this is, like, what counts as reporting. But
Jabari wants what he wants, right? I can't be mad at him. He wants
overall draft pick.
He wants money coming off two major injuries.
Yeah.
It's sad. I really wanted him to succeed.
Well, he can still succeed elsewhere.
What was that stat that you mentioned if they do retain him?
It's a useless stat. Do I really want to bring this up? It's like five players that have averaged 20 points per game last season, which is Brook Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, Giannis, and who's the fifth guy? Jabari.
We may be looking back at this podcast saying, damn.
Yeah, but like, what does that bring you if you run that team? I don't think it's a very cohesive unit.
Yeah.
It's 100 points between the five of them, right?
Yeah, then Tony Snell off the bench.
Hey, that's good for like...
Delhi. Oh, don't forget Delhi.
Yeah, Delhi's real. No.
In Australia.
Yeah.
He's a real gritty player.
Yeah.
Jingles in Delhi.
Real scrappy guy.
The lead up to the big Warriors signing was the signing of Julius Randle. I know you guys wanted to talk about that.
I think it's a great signing.
Awesome move.
Really?
Yeah. His fit... Oh, you don't think his fit with Anthony Davis?
No, I thought it was a good fit. I just was like, I didn't really think of it as a whether or not it was a fit or not. I just thought, oh, if they're signing another big, that means Boogie's going somewhere else.
They had to renounce Boogie's rights.
Yeah, I just didn't analyze it in that way. So
I think the Boogie deal was they offered him an extension.
This was after his injury.
Yeah, and Boogie turned that
prior to the free agency. So they offered it to him
again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, why would you? If he turns that down, that's a pretty big amount. $20 million.
He's gonna make 35 next year. Coming off a chip.
Yeah, so. Sure. Why not?
He's playing chess, not checkers.
If he wanted to play with Anthony Davis so bad, like every indication was there.
Yeah.
Why not take that extension? And you're still gonna be so in your 10th year. You can sign for more money, apparently. I don't know how the system works or how the mechanics of these numbers are,
CBA.
But in your 10th year, you can. So I think the Boogie, my take is Boogie's in Warriors for 2 years. It's not a 1 year deal.
Okay.
I think Boogie sits for one more year.
So next year they're gonna have to sign Clay and Draymond. So how do you have any room to sign Boogie?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But Boogie takes another small deal.
Oh, and no then way.
Year 10, no I'm calling way. It right now. Okay. I'm putting this on take. I'm putting this on the pod officially. Boogie stays in the Warriors for 2 years. And then in his 10th year in the league, you can sign a max extension or something. I don't know what it is.
I really thought he would split after this.
No, he's definitely gone. Personally, that's what I think. But
okay. Well, we'll
I think
wait
he signs
see.
A 4 year, yeah. 35 per.
But Julius Randle, how do you like him? On
your oh, yeah.
I really like that signing. It's only $8 million, $8.6 million this year. And he's
yeah, 18 for two, right?
He's got a player option the next year. So he's on a real bet on yourself type of deal.
I don't think he makes any more than that. Like in the recent, maybe the cap space goes up next year, so he could make
like
more.
15
but
year.
I don't see why the Pelicans just don't re-up him next year. Just give him a little bit more money if he works out, which I think he will with Mirotić and, you know, Anthony Davis.
A lot of teams with cap room next year.
That's a good physical player to have for them.
He runs the floor well.
Yeah, which is good because
that's what Pelicans want to do.
Yeah.
They want to run the floor.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is probably the only guy that's like feed him in the post because Mirotić is going to be camped in the corner.
Yeah.
So Randle is a good player to have.
Yeah.
And you brought back Ian Clark. You have Elfrid Payton, which Jury's
yeah, Elfrid Payton cut his hair.
He did. And apparently he's going home. Oh, it's not for sure yet, but he hasn't signed, but that's the verbal agreement. So we're going to assume that you have Ian Clark, Jrue Holiday. And their wing spot's a little shoddy, though, still. They have Etuan Moore, who I think is a really solid
good.
Player.
Yeah, he's good.
Pelicans are looking up, man. But in the West, it really doesn't matter because you'll be the 6th or 7th seed and you're fizzled out. Like, that's the ceiling for this team.
Like, stomp.
Yeah.
Team.
But you know what? Any series they're in, they're going to compete, which is what I love about the Pelicans. Finally, they're here, and Dell Demps is making solid decisions.
Yeah.
I'm happy for that.
Other than the Warriors, and I guess Lakers, if they make it to the playoffs, they'll have the best player in the matchup.
So Lakers don't make the playoffs, right? Like, that's the take right now.
I think they're a solid 10 seed.
I feel like it's going to be one of those weird, like, you're watching a random game so that the team that loses gets the Lakers into the playoffs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, this is going to be a tight race.
Yeah.
It will be.
So yeah. We're watching the West very closely.
Yeah, like we're going to be praying that like Utah loses like 3 games.
I'm not praying for that. Utah's a really good team.
I'm just saying, that's how the tiebreakers work in that.
It's true.
I like watching the standings like every half an hour. I like doing that.
It's good.
And then the last like 14 days, where it's like, what happened? 14 just switched 5 spots?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, there's a few people who still haven't signed yet. That's pretty interesting.
Capella is a big one, right?
Capella.
The biggest?
Yeah,
this
is the
biggest.
There's like some
Wayne Ellington, my boy.
News coming out that Capella and the Rockets are kind of fraying. Like, that relationship is like.
Marcus Smart and
Marcus
Celtics
Smart.
Are fraying too.
Yeah, publicly. Yeah. He's was it disappointed and angry?
Is that what he said?
I think so, something like that.
They did, like, collectively, the Celtics did vote him as the verbal leader of that team.
Well, now that Kyrie is back. Is Kyrie the verbal leader of that team?
Gordon Hayward is the leader of that team.
Why? Because he plays Fortnite.
No, just because he plays League of Legends.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the coach's guy, right?
Yeah. Well, Brad Stevens. Well,
he's the coach's guy.
If we're all gonna be real, Brad Stevens is the heart and voice of that team.
I mean, nobody else is speaking. Oh, Terry Rozier.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
he's the voice of that team.
No one allowed.
Scary Terry's the voice. So
who's
Marcus.
That? No, I'm joking.
Marcus Smart. Do you think he re-signs with the Celtics?
Yeah,
they keep him.
No, I think somebody's gonna give him another Maybe the Kings go after him. They're looking for a shooting guard.
Who can't shoot?
There you go. Perfect fit on the Kings.
Wow. Man, we're shitting on Kings again.
See, the King, stay the King.
Okay, so Marcus Smart, Richard, you think he reached the re-ups with Boston?
Yeah.
Like, why would you let him go? I'm on the same.
Like if they offered, you know? Like, if they really haven't called him.
They lowballed, right? Isn't that why he's mad and angry?
He's mad and angry that they didn't call him. Like, they haven't spoken to him at all.
Maybe they're just waiting it out to see how this Kawhi thing unfold.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Celtics were in the mix.
Yeah, maybe. But I can understand why, because, like, maybe he really, really, really does want to go back, and if he doesn't, like, if he starts trying to set something up too late, then nothing will happen, like, with other teams.
So what happens with Capella then? Because I can understand why the Celtics haven't made an offer, but what are the Rockets doing here? Do they want to retain Capella?
Wouldn't you? Like,
do you think his skill set is somewhere you can find?
Other than
on the market,
DeAndre Jordan? I don't really see a guy that rim runs.
Nerlens or Noel kind of left. He was that one guy.
Yeah, he was. But now he's in OKC. That's
a good sign. I think that's for the cheap. That's a good risk.
Not bad.
Really, no one else. Hey.
John Hanson.
Jabari Parker.
Jabari's not a rim running guy. Yeah, I don't see what the Houston Rockets are doing. I just think Chris Paul was a bad signing. First of all, I agree with that.
Same.
And not signing Luke and Bamute still. Like, what are they doing here? They're not running the same team. They're really depleted here.
They objectively got worse.
And they signed MCW.
If you look at it that way, then they're not. It's not that they're rebuilding.
Retooling?
They're not even retooling. It's like they're trying to set pieces up, at least for me, that are like, oh, we need insurance in case James Harden gets injured. Oh, we need insurance in case Chris Paul gets injured.
But the second one is more viable.
Yeah, but now you don't have anyone around them for when they're healthy. You know what I mean?
So maybe they thought the last year didn't really work out. Like, maybe. even though it was because of injuries and because
of... Why would you sign Chris Paul to a 4-year, 160
You can't let him go. Yeah. We talked about this on the last
podcast. Yeah, there was like...
You
like,
can't do that.
If you don't, then, like, you'll never... Like, agents will feel like you burn them. Like,
not
forever.
Only that, this is your plan. This is why you traded for the guy. You should re-sign him.
That's true.
And also, CB, like, the dude won't demand anything less.
He's in charge of the league. Ultimately, I feel like Capella resigns with the Rockets, but it's not going to be on the number that he wants.
I think it's going to be a short-term deal so that he can feel out the market next year.
That makes more sense.
I don't know what's going on with all these bigs, like, trying to bet on themselves.
Everybody's betting on themselves this year.
It's like, it's super weird, though, to me, because...
How many one-year deals have we seen?
A lot.
There's
a lot.
So many. I can't even count. Like,
but that's because they all know the cap spike next year.
Yeah, but
it's gonna be teams are gonna have space.
I don't know because I think GMs. I like to think people learn their lessons. I think GMs has saw what happened when you overpaid all these fucking bigs.
Mozgov, Biyombo.
Yeah, you know.
2016. That was the summer.
Yeah,
summer to get paid.
Yeah. So now
summer 16.
So like I think the summer of...
Well, Kings are still not learning from anything.
Yeah, no, they're still
going
to get...
Going all out.
Yeah, Kings and Bigs forever.
We're slandering the Kings again.
I'm sorry, I had to bring it up.
Three times in a row.
That's a charm.
But I think...
Be the King, stay the King.
I think the market for Bigs is going to drop and Clint's going to be disappointed.
So is there a free agent signing that you think is going to be valuable? Like a low-key signing for any team that would be a great addition, would be a great fit? That's still on the market now.
Wayne Ellington, personally.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too.
Just because I think he's a pro. Like,
Jabari?
You think Jabari? You've been saying that name a lot.
No, I
agree. I think he could be a
draft pick. I know he's coming back off of injuries, but we've seen spurts of him last year. And
how much is he worth?
That's a good question.
You think it's going to be a short deal, right?
NBA GMs don't know. We have no idea, so I don't know.
The evaluation on that guy would be off the chart because of the injuries and everything.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a short deal.
Another better
IMO, sure.
As of as of 33 minutes ago, Mbah Mute joins the Clippers.
The Clippers? Wasn't he on the Clippers?
Yeah, I think Doc's bringing him back. His Doc recycles guys.
Yeah, and Houston, as of 18 minutes ago, determined to sign Carmelo Anthony.
Okay, so we're not hearing with Capella yet. Capella's probably not happy.
Yeah.
Free agency's still in a long way to go.
Yeah, we're still getting news as we record things.
But I think we're so spoiled now that we want news like every hour.
Yeah.
If nothing happens, we're like, why isn't anything happening?
Yeah. But, yeah, just to finish.
So, Rockets lost another wing. That's my point. Yeah. What are they doing? Lost Ariza. PJ Tucker's the only wing now for you?
They went from a wing heavy team to like.
Is MCW a wing? He can't. He's not a spot up shooter. So, what is really happening now? Like, I think the teams are. Houston was so close to competing with the Warriors, and now they do this. I don't know. Carmelo, that's your option. You let go of Luke Mbamute. So I think this Luke Mbamute signing is an indication that Carmelo might be on the team.
Yeah. Weird.
Like, this proves it.
Yeah. Weird. That's weird.
It seems like they chose Melo over Mbamute.
Yeah.
Well, we all know whose decision that was. Cough, cough.
I have no idea.
All right, so we have a Twitter question.
Okay.
And the question is, who do you think, or what do you think is the best part about Summer League that we haven't talked about at all, which is now a marquee event on national TV?
Can I mention one name?
Yes.
Kevin Knox.
Ooh. Wow. Knicks, we're talking about the Knicks.
Every time they boo this, like, one of their draftees.
Oh, yeah, and then he shows up and, like, kicks people's teeth in.
Kevin Knox is really high on my draft board. Like, dude, if whatever side of this guy.
I believe Jonathan Givony from ESPN had him going up from 15 all the way to 7 on the last day. He was apparently in private workouts. He was killing it. They had him go one-on-one with Miles Bridges, the Knicks.
Miles Bridges agreed to that?
Yes, and he got crushed, and that's why the Knicks signed him, so...
Oh my God, Miles Bridges, what are you doing? Why would you want to play one-on-one? That's such a strange thing to do.
Some guys do that. Apparently, that's like all Boogie did.
The things you, that's the things you have to do to sign with a big market team like the Knicks. Like, you want to be?
I don't know if you want to do a lot for the Knicks.
Things like,
his deal's got tryouts going on.
Yeah, things we like watching about Summer League. I like watching international prospects, and I think it's good that they show them, because a lot of people who watch basketball in the States mostly watch prospects through college, so they don't really see international prospects play. Yeah, like Furkan Korkmaz.
Man. Furkan Korkmaz dropped freaking 40 points the other day.
So, is anybody taking these performances seriously? Like, is there any stock for these guys that are performing well in Summer League?
It depends. It really, for me, it depends on the team.
It depends. Elaborate.
Like, if someone on the Clippers, like, for the past few years, if someone on the Clippers had a good game, I would take that with a grain of salt, because I knew they would never play, because Doc wouldn't play them.
Doc's changed, apparently, right?
Yeah, but still, do you know what I mean? Like, and even...
They have so many guards.
Yeah. And
so many.
And it also, and, like, the Magic hosted their own Summer League, so they would have, like, two teams, and if someone, like, put up good numbers there, I'd be like, they're gonna cut, like, 80% of you, so... Yeah.
What are the thoughts on, have you seen any of the games or caught highlights?
I've caught a few games, because I actually like some of the
I was watching some of the Raptors.
What are our thoughts, some initial blown up reactions, like overreacting to anything, like bad performances? Or
Trae Young, 12 for 52, and then he comes back with a 21-11 game, dropping bombs from like 40 feet.
Prove him wrong, right? Prove him wrong. It's all about numbers here, Trae Young. And you know what? He was taking a lot of contested jumpers. So eventually you're going to start hitting them.
Yeah, he's open at 40 feet. Starts jacking them up and
so
just having a fall.
Travis Schlenk has given him the green light in Summer League. Just shoot it from wherever.
Yeah.
Are we going to worry about efficiency later on?
Yeah. And he's making it work, so sometimes.
12-52 is very seldom.
I said sometimes.
That was the first three games.
We're going to overreact for sure.
And that's the fun, right? Like, they're young guys, they're prospects, the games mean nothing. Like,
It's fun to watch.
Some guys that are returning from last year to Summer League, I think, have been promising. Like, they know what's happening. Like, Jonathan Isaac, I saw in the Summer League for Orlando. He looks beefier. He's bulked up. So I think these guys, like, you know, they know what to expect now.
Yeah, that's sort of, like, the real, like, that's who it's for, really. Like, it's not really for rookies. It's more to see
improvement
on second-year players and composure. Like, this was something that I noticed in a lot of the Raptors that I watched play. Like, that's at least what you want to see. Like, and I know the exception of that being is that Norm Powell showed a lot of composure and then in the regular season kind of, like, was in his head, but...
You know, with NBA, it's a whole different animal. I get that. And psychologically, it's very nerve-wracking to be in that big moment. And we've seen that with the Raptors and other teams. Like, you know, when they're in the big moment, they don't perform like they have over the course of the seasons or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, you know, these guys are showcasing their talents on a bigger stage now compared to 6 years ago. It's not 50 guys watching in a ratty gym. This is on national TV now. And you know what? The highlights are going up on Instagram, on every social media platform. Yeah. So people watch Trae Young bomb and they go like, hey, you know what? Maybe this guy isn't as good as we thought initially. Because, you know, people don't watch a lot of college games. I feel like Trae Young was watched, but at the same time, you know, it was all about hype. When the hype was up, people were watching.
Yeah.
The whole country doesn't watch Pac-12 games or Pac-10 games. You know, I don't get it here in Canada. I mean, in the United States, it's much more accessible. But if you're outside of the United States, like NBA has become, this is your chance to see the guy play on Instagram, on ESPN. And when you bomb on these stages, your stock is going to go down. But even though for teams, it doesn't matter that much because Travis has put his full stock into Trae Young.
Yeah.
If he bombs for six more months, it's still an experiment. Atlanta's going to be losing anyway. So we're going to overreact, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He still has a safety net in that draft pick that he got.
Yes, he does. He's a good playmaker. One thing I noticed about Trae Young, he had 11 assists.
He got pretty good 11 assists last game, yeah.
Was that ooh worthy?
I don't know.
11 assists is ooh.
I don't know. We live in a league where point guards just score, so.
Yeah, Colin Sexton, bring it on. I'm excited to see the Cavs next year. I can't believe I said that.
I want to
see them tank really hard.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That means the two things that I've heard about them need to come true. They need to ship off Kyle Korver and Kevin Love.
Which they should.
Think the Raptors can finally beat them now?
Yes. apparently Tristan Thompson thinks it's time.
He's about to become a superstar.
Yeah.
Whoa. Put on watch.
I saw JR making consecutive jumpers. JR working out in the gym, like, hey.
I'm ready for a JR redemption. We saw it happen before. I'm ready for it again, but I don't think
it's... Is he ready to fly without LeBron?
No, I don't think anyone is going to do that.
Who's flying without LeBron? The owner.
That's true.
He's probably happy that LeBron left.
He is, but I think we're going to be in store for some very strange moves. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like even though they should tank, I think they might just try to make a run for the playoffs.
Until he wants to keep the team relevant again? Because that was his plan, right? Getting a high draft pick for Kyrie to just keep them relevant again.
Yeah.
If LeBron leaves and this happens. But, you know, they drafted Colin Sexton, which I don't think is the greatest move in the world. But at the same time, you know, he took a chance on Dion Waiters when LeBron wasn't there. And look how that worked out.
Hey, Dion Waiters is going to come back to Miami next
week. Yeah. He got paid, so can't be mad at him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is a wrap, I believe. If there's anything else you guys want to say, drop it in.
No.
This has been a very roller coaster free agency.
Yeah.
But I believe we're not done.
No, right? I'm not done, man.
We're not done. All right.
He's never done.
It's true. And that's why it's the best league in the world.
Yes. Like we said before, and we're going to say it again. We love the NBA. Signing out, Richard.
All right, everybody. That's it for this week's edition of Back to the Basket Podcast. Please feel free to get us wherever you get any and all of your podcasts, like the Google Store, iTunes, and Stitcher. Please feel free to send us any questions. We love answering them. You'll find all our social media info in the show notes. And once again, we may have our backs to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans.